You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Thursday, February 15th, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill video game podcast. I hope you had a nice Valentine's Day yesterday. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you the latest gaming impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in 15 minutes to fit your busy life. I am happy to have you here with me today because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And to make sure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And I would appreciate it if you left a review while you're there, if you're so inclined. It helps to spread the word about the show. Also, if you'd like to chat about today's episode or just talk about games or whatever, you can find me over on Threads by searching for Midlife Side Quest. So every week I open up the episode by sending out some positive vibes. It's a special shout out to someone whom I admire and appreciate in an attempt to spread some good energy throughout the gaming community. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Danny Pena and Rihanna Manuel Pena. Danny and Rihanna are two of the nicest people around. Danny is the OG of gaming podcasts, having created Gamertag Radio like 20 years ago. He was doing this before anybody, and he has been hustling ever since, working harder than probably any creator I know. And Rihanna has been all over the games industry, from working at Microsoft and G4 to co-hosting What's Good Games and the Spawny Awards with our friend Khalif Adams. And this week, the couple announced not one, but two new ventures. First is their new business, D&R Media Consulting. And also a new podcast, The Danny and Rihanna Show, which will focus on finding balance between their nerdy hobbies and being new parents. So I'm guessing many of you will be able to connect and relate to that kind of a show. So kudos and congratulations to the both of you on a very exciting week. This week's game is one that wasn't at all on my radar this year. In fact, I was so in the dark on Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, that when people started talking about it right before it released, I thought that they were referring to the long in development Sands of Time remake. But no, apparently there are two new Prince of Persia games in development at the same time. And while that Sands of Time remake seems to be having a little bit of a troubled development, the buzz around the old watering hole, which is old-timey talk for Discord, is that The Lost Crown was a fantastic Metroidvania-style game and an early candidate for Game of the Year lists, which is all kinds of silliness because we are super early in the year. It's only February. But the talk was so good that I felt like I wanted to check it out. The rub, though, was that while this game looks a lot like something that would have come out of the Xbox Live Arcade era of gaming, this game retails for $50. Now, I'm not one to usually question what publishers charge for their games, you know. I'm not saying it's not worth it. But for a game that I hadn't heard of the week before, I wasn't super sure if I wanted to drop that much money on it. Luckily, I thought of a solution that would let me play the game for a fraction of the price. Ubisoft Plus. Now, if you aren't familiar, This subscription service is $17, I think, per month, and it gets you a pretty good collection of back catalog games from Ubisoft, as well as new releases, including the recent Avatar game and Prince of Persia. So, what the heck? I should be able to finish the game in 1 month, and $17 sounds much better than $50. So, like I said, this game is in that Metroid style of gameplay where you are running around a huge map, unlocking areas as you get new abilities, which allow you to explore further. And the very first thing that I did before starting the game was kick that difficulty down to story mode, which is what they apparently call easy now in an effort to spare our egos. I'd heard that this game was pretty tough, and I just didn't have any interest in breaking a controller or rage quitting after losing a boss for the 20th time. I have zero shame about easy modes these days, and I'm actually really glad that I did, because even on this mode, some of the bosses and the platforming puzzles are still quite hard. There were still some bosses that took me several tries to beat, and the platforming doesn't get any easier, so I think that was the right call for me. And if you do find yourself in trouble with like a platforming sequence, they do allow you to turn on an option to warp past certain segments of the map, which, if you're gonna make your game difficult, and I'm fine with that, I really appreciate when they put in these kind of options for those of us who just aren't here for that. Now, story-wise, I think they spin a fairly interesting tale here. You play as Sargon, a young warrior who is part of a group called the Immortals, who are tasked with protecting the kingdom of Persia, and one of their own kidnaps the prince. You gotta travel to Mount Queef? I don't know, to rescue him. But the mountain is under a curse, which distorts time and plays tricks on those who get too close. It's a pretty interesting story, and the voice acting is solid. I was pretty into it the entire time, and the payoff at the end is pretty darn satisfying. With a game like this, though, it all comes down to two things, and that is the platforming and the combat. And they pretty much nail it with both. In the early couple of hours, I admit that I wasn't completely sold on it. It seemed a little basic on the surface, but it's when you start to unlock new abilities and special moves that the game really opens up and it starts to shine. For instance, in the beginning, you have just your swords for combat, but later you find a bow, which allows you to do ranged attacks with the Y button. But then you unlock a chakram, and with that, you hold down the Y button to aim it, and after you throw that at an enemy, it will come flying back to you, and it can damage enemies on the way back as well. Cool. Cool, right? Well, then you get an ability that lets you throw your chakram, and when it's at a distance, you hit the LB or the L1 button to warp to where it is, allowing you to get behind enemies or up to platforms that you couldn't get to otherwise. And it's this constant evolution of your abilities that propelled me forward to see just how powerful I could become. And you'll also unlock more platforming abilities, like a double jump and the ability to create a sort of shadow version of yourself. The way that works is you hit one of the shoulder buttons to leave a duplicate of yourself wherever you want, and then you hit that button again to instantly warp back to that original position, which is useful in various environmental puzzles, as well as boss fights where you can use that to get out of a tough spot if you get, like, cornered. There are just so many cool powers to get that can be used in lots of different ways. By the time I got to the end of the game, I just felt invincible. It was a pretty rad feeling when you layer all these powers on top of each other. There's also loads of side missions and collectibles, upgrades, and other hidden things all over the map. If you felt like being a completionist, you could probably put 20 to 25 hours into this game easy. I only dabbled a bit in some of the optional objectives, and I still ended up clocking about 15 hours of playtime. If you like platformers or Metroidvania-style games, I think this is a pretty easy one to recommend. It's a little slow going in the beginning, and $50 might seem a little steep, but remember, $17 gets you 1 month of Ubisoft Plus, which is plenty of time to complete the game, and you'll get all of the Wheel of Fortune you can fit into 30 days. That's pretty rad. Every once in a while, I have a meal that is so good and so unique that I just know that it's going to stick with me and I'm going to remember it for a very long time. And I experienced that earlier this month when my wife and I went to Karonomise in Minneapolis for our anniversary. It's the brainchild of Chef Shigeyuki Furukawa. The restaurant opened in 2017 in an attempt to bring authentic Japanese cuisine to the Twin Cities. We chose to do the six-course omakase, which is a tasting menu, which sits you at the counter across from your sushi chef as he works his magic for you. And it was all outstanding. Oh, it was so good. There was a chawan mushi, I think is how you pronounce it, which I had never had before. And it was like a egg custard with mushroom and octopus and a dashi broth. There were 10 pieces of nigiri sushi, which was as amazing to eat as it was to watch the chef make for us and explain each piece for us. Like the difference between the three cuts of tuna and how they differ from each other and where each fish came from. And the yuzu sorbet, which finished the meal, which was citrusy and refreshing. And it was super, super fun to talk with the chef over the course of the meal about the food, his time growing up in Tokyo, how Christina and I had met, and he even gave us some tips for our trip to Japan later this year. It was an intimate and amazing meal, unlike anything I have had here at home. Also, one of the best old fashions I've ever had. Last week for Polling at Threads, I asked you if you were confident in the future of Silent Hill, and most of you are still pretty up in the air about it, with 49% picking undecided. 34% said you were not confident about the series' future, and only 17% said that you were. So it looks to me like Konami still has a lot of convincing to do. For this week's Polling at Threads, I know, that meal the other night was a bit on the spendy side, so let me ask you, what is the most you're willing to pay per person for a nice high-end dinner? This is relevant because we just had Valentine's Day. Maybe you took your date out. So that's not including drinks or tip, just the food. And let's see, the choices we'll do between zero and up to $50, $51 to $100, between $1 and $200, and lastly, for the big spenders, we'll say over $200. To me, going to a nice restaurant is the equivalent of going to a great concert. So sometimes you gotta splurge, you know? but I'm curious what you all feel. So go visit Midlife SideQuest on Threads, and I'll share the results next week. Thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate you making time in your day for me. And don't forget, you can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning, wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for Midlife SideQuest on Threads. So until next week, be well and happy gaming.